Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. Keeve, I've been getting some negative feedback online for not being excited enough about the upcoming NFL season.
Well, I think it's also some Johnny-come-latelys, or maybe Sally-come-latelys. I don't know if it's 2019. Women could complain about podcasts, too. People don't remember. Like, when we started this podcast, I used to, like, fall asleep during certain episodes. Like, literally
on air.
Well,
also, I think we have some Johnny-come-latelys because, like, as an example, you know, we mentioned in passing Eli Manning's Hall of Fame prospects.
Yeah.
And that was only an hour-long discussion in our ranking of the top 100 quarterbacks.
Oh, we've had this conversation 12 times on the podcast. So.
Yeah. But we were asked to do it again, and we can do it again, and we can talk about, you know, the CQBR plus that and all that at a different time. But today we have to talk about another garbage team in the NFC East.
Yeah, we'll get to Eli Manning in due time. Although we already talked about the Giants.
Yeah, no, but I did promise Adam in the Facebook group that we would talk about Eli Manning's Hall of Fame case. He is a sui generis player. I think there's no one like him in the history of the NFL.
Do you now we've done two of these. We're at 3 of 32 today. Are you slightly more, less, or equally disinterested in the NFL season so far?
I'm a little more excited. What I wish we were doing is what Ari Gold, I don't know if you saw that in the Facebook group, he had said, you know how episode 32 was 32 minutes? He said each one should be like, episode 31 should be 31
minutes. That is funny.
That's funny, except practically speaking, we can't spend like 3 minutes talking about the good teams. So we should have done the opposite. We should have done 1 minute.
We should have built up. Yeah, that would have been funny. But I don't mind 32.
Like Hanukkah,
the bomb. You bomb the last podcast in the middle of a word.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the Football League. So at some point, after we talk about the Redskins now, the Washington Redskins, we will discuss the Football League. And that's going to go up today. We're going to
The 32 Fans 2009.
Yes, we're not going to do a 32-team league. We are going to do
more than 32 teams.
We said Survivor.
Had, I think 48 teams.
People are calling it a guillotine league. That may be a Survivor. There will be maybe some Survivor themes, that the TV show, but it will be a fantasy league where people get eliminated. We got some late-breaking pitch ideas, but let's talk about the Redskins first.
Yeah. By the way, the other thing I like about that league is because it's not like head-to-head, you don't necessarily need an even number of people in the league.
Oh, yeah. Like, I hadn't thought of that, but you could.
12 or 13 or
But I don't think ESPN or Yahoo will allow it. I don't think there's any scenario where they allow an odd number
of teams. As long as you don't select head-to-head as the scoring system.
Are you sure? Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Yahoo does. I can't speak for ESPN. So
that's actually useful to know. Yeah. All right, let's talk about the most exciting team in the history of the NFL. And that's the Washington Redskins. I'm going to make a guarantee right now.
Racial slur, by the way.
I'm sorry. The Washington football
team. I
don't
care. I thought.
I'm going to say right now, there is no chance that Jay Gruden is the coach of this team in 2020. That's what I'm leading with. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. But then again, I probably would have said that 2 years ago also. What has he done to keep the job so far?
Well, at least last year he could blame the Alex Smith thing. The truth is the Alex Smith thing, although the injury was horrific.
And he could still blame the Alex Smith thing this year because he's still injured.
But the truth is Alex Smith, you know, it hurts me to say this, was really bad last year. He was terrible. And
he wasn't as good as he was in Kansas City with Andy Reid or he was in San Francisco with Jim Harbaugh. Like, that's not a surprise because Jay Gruden was his coach instead of Andy Reid, who's an offensive genius, or Jim Harbaugh.
Right, who turns everybody into a superstar.
Yeah,
so
let's be a little bit honest here. And now they have Case Keenum, right? You know, Case Keenum, who had, you know,
same idea,
magical games in his career,
went away from his sort of coaching nirvana and ended up being bad again.
Yeah. And now Dwayne Haskins, I guess, like, is Jay Gruden the one to mold Dwayne Haskins into an NFL superstar?
Haskins is interesting. People liked the way he looked. They didn't see the Redskins preseason game. He did throw two picks. People were still pretty psyched about him. He's one of the slowest players in the league. He did scramble nicely twice. But I don't think he is going to play week one, which at this point, oddly, is almost rare for a rookie QB. Almost every rookie QB plays week one, right? I think it's, you know, completely assumed. I have not done a ton of Cardinals research yet, but there's not even a quarterback controversy in Arizona, right? Kyler Murray is, like, obviously starting.
Yeah, but they didn't trade for Keenum the way, you know, like last year, Arizona with Josh Rosen, for example, they signed Sam Bradford for the idea of, you know, let's try the veteran and then, you know.
Right, but I mean, it was understood going in that Darnold was going to start, and Baker Mayfield would have started with a normal team. Yeah,
Washington's schedule the first half of the year before the bye is really, really rough.
No, it could get ugly very early.
Yeah, I mean,
for
do you want to bring Haskins in to face Philly, Dallas, Chicago, New England, you know, San Francisco, Minnesota in September and October, or do you want to wait until November when you get the Bills, the Jets, the Lions? You know, I think it gets a little bit easier there.
It's front loaded. It's not even front loaded with great teams as much as it's front loaded with good defenses. Well, I'm not sold on the Niners you just mentioned, but in general,
yeah, no, the Niners are not as good as those other teams. But yeah, but the other those are all like top 10 defenses, I think. So,
all right, so this team is bad. This team is
yes.
This team is really bad.
But you think they're better than the Giants?
Here's the thing. Like,
I think their defense is probably better.
I just think Haskins has so much of a chance to be better than Daniel Jones, and they actually have a pass rush, meaning I don't think they get blown out a lot if they get, like, C-minus quarterback play. I mean, this is a really bad QB situation. Case Keenum...
Isn't Colt McCoy the starter as of this moment?
Yeah, I think Keenum will end up... Colt McCoy sucks. I think Keenum and Haskins will play more than McCoy this year.
Yeah, it's a lose.
So this team is completely built around their front seven. Jonathan Allen, I think, becomes a superstar this year in his third year. And Ryan Kerrigan in his ninth year already, geez, is still wrecking havoc. The front seven is the strength of the team. Josh Norman is not Josh Norman anymore. They spent $1 trillion getting Landon Collins from the Giants, which I complained about last podcast about the Giants. But there are, like, safety is the deepest position in the NFL, and it's one of the least valuable. I would have spent my money on a receiver, and not that there were so many receivers available for this team over, because for the 47th straight
year, this
team
has no receivers. Josh Dotson is getting his last chance again.
Yeah, Dotson is, you were making fun of Devontae Parker last week. Dotson is Devontae Parker, basically. Yeah. Like, in practice, he looks like...
Except that he's actually done less in the league than Parker.
He's done less, but it's like in practice and preseason, he looks good.
Jordan Reed is good for like 6 quarters a season, and then he's injured for about another 40 quarters.
Reed can't stay healthy, and tight ends just are taking a beating in the modern NFL. Like, none of them really last a long time. So Paul Richardson.
Brock was partying in Hudson Yards apparently on Tisha B'Av yesterday. I heard from some sources.
What would he normally be doing on Tisha B'Av?
I don't know. Just one of my friends was complaining that he is always there on Sundays, but he wasn't there on this Sunday because of Tisha B'Av, and of course Gronk shows up.
What's a partying in Hudson Yards?
I don't know.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. This is all my source on all of this is my friend who was complaining. Oh, this one Sunday don't show up and Gronk shows up. So,
okay.
Yeah. Don't ask me.
Paul Richardson's fine from the Seahawks. Trey Quinn, people like in the slot, and they actually got one of Dwayne Haskins' college receivers in Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, I mean the Giants' offense is really bad. I think that this offense might be worse because
they don't have Saquon Barkley. Yeah, the Giants have like a generational player.
Although Washington's offensive line is better.
The Washington offensive line, in theory, is really good. The problem is that there's almost no chance Trent Williams is there, and then Eric Flowers is the worst player in the NFL playing, is basically guaranteed at that point to have to play somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're playing him a guard anyway.
The Trent Williams thing is amazing because his beef, it's not about money. It's strictly about, like, how bad the training staff has been, the medical staff has been for Washington. But they, like, won an award last year in the league. So what are those? I mean, is that like getting a gold glove in the 90s? It's totally meaningless, or?
That's like Kawhi Leonard-ish, where it's like once you lose trust in the training staff, there's really no way back for a player. And that's what, like, he is absolutely not going to, mend those fences. They're going to have to trade him.
They're going to have to trade him to Toronto and then they'll win a title?
I mean, the truth is there's 15 teams around the league that are desperate. There are not a lot of good left tackles, so they will get a real bounty for him.
The Vikings would happily take him.
And this isn't a contending year. The thing is, even when you're not contending, I would give your young QB as good of offensive line as possible.
You don't want Dwayne Haskins to be sacked 70
times.
Trade
everyone on defense. Trade freaking Kerrigan even. Trade everyone on defense. But you can't get him injured and have the David Carr situation where your career's over just because you got sacked 75 times your first year and you can't even see straight anymore. The right side of their line is really, really great with Morgan Moses and Brandon Scherff. So there is definitely something there. But the skill positions situation is bottom five in the league. Samaje Perine is not going to be in the NFL by next year.
Well, I think Darius Geis is the guy that had a lot of high hopes for last year when he got injured in the preseason.
I don't think he's going to be A, healthy, or B, good, Geis, from what I've seen.
Chris Thompson can look like James White for,
He is a good receiver.
He's a good third down back. But
one of the things about those guys is, like, if it's third and short, he can't run, really. So you're almost signaling your passing a little more than you'd want to by bringing in Thompson versus James White.
His run success rate actually was pretty good. I remember seeing some stats about him.
I think it was better than their other junkie running back.
I mean, he's averaged 5 yards a carry for his career.
Yeah, Thompson. Well, maybe that's the key. He's so bad at running that they don't play the run,
No. To be fair to me, guys like that are going to have more yards per carry because again, their runs are like draws on third and eight. So.
Football Outsiders has this stat called failed completions, which Ryan Tannehill is the all-time king of, which is basically like 5 yard pass on 3rd and 13. Yeah. So like, which is why Tannehill always has really high passer rating and a really excellent completion percentage, but because every defense in the NFL will give you a 6 yard pass.
I had Sam Bradford on the Vikings for a couple
years. Yeah, so Sam Bradford really invented the failed completion, exactly. I mean, last year he perfected it with, like, throwing behind the line, basically, to make sure it's a complete pass. Let's get a 74 completion percentage and have... you know, throw for 39 passes for 127 yards. So I don't know. There's nothing exciting about this team, but the weird thing is because their front seven is formidable, they are the type of team where it's like, oh shoot, we have to play the Redskins next week. They are annoying to play. With C plus quarterback play, this team is going to be in a lot of games. They'll probably lose a lot of close games.
Yeah, this team's ceiling is, you know, like the Giants, I think their ceiling is 7-9.
Yeah, that would be a good year for them.
Yeah, and I think more likely is 5-11, 4-12, something like that. I do have to say, I'm looking at their depth chart. They have some great names on their defense. They have Casanova McKenzie. That's a great name.
Mm-hmm. B.J. Blunt. You're a big fan of B.J. Blunt.
Yeah. Adonis Alexander. Obviously, I'm going to be okay with that one.
Yeah.
They have, what else? They got a bunch of JoJos. They have a JoJo Wicker and a JoJo McIntosh.
Yeah, I like JoJo McIntosh. That's a good
name. Ryan B. Yeah, Montez Sweat is, he's a starter with a great
Bryce Love is a great name. I don't know when he's going to play. But the truth is, they have like 40. He's injured. They have 50 running backs that people have heard of. This team. There's a few teams in the NFC. The 49ers, when you get there, have like 13 running backs you've heard of. I don't know how they're going to and receivers. I don't know how they're going to cut down from. I don't even know how they only have 90 guys on their roster. Like, they have so many running backs and receivers that you've heard of, and I don't know how they're going to use any of them. That Jerick McKinnon signing, by the way. Now that he's injured, really.
It was instantly idiotic. Highest paid running back last season. I mean, it was just insane. I watched him a lot as a Vikings fan. Like, it was, and then because he's like, well, Shanahan's an offensive guru, so he just got credit for it. It was a completely moronic decision. They were competing against nobody in that, and it's just the fact that he got injured isn't why it was bad. It just, you know, that's adding injury to insult.
All right, what's the Redskins' win total this year?
Am I supposed to have that information?
I think, what is it, 6.5, I think?
I have no idea.
Let's check it up. Because
I'm trying to figure out, what is Adrian Peterson still hanging around for?
I can answer that question very, very easily for you. Yeah. He has no money anymore.
Yeah, that's probably true. I'm looking, so he needs about 300 yards to pass Jerome Bettis, get into seventh all time.
Yeah.
He needs.
But that doesn't do it, like, he's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, unless you want to take him out for.
And no, so he's going to pass Bettis and LT. He needs 300 and something yards to do that. Curtis Martin would be next to break into the top five. He needs about 800 yards to do that.
Does that really excite you? Like, first, it's not like legend.
Does it excite me?
I'm saying, like, that's going to excite him to get in the top five and then eventually get knocked out by somebody.
I mean, look, I had it when Adrian Peterson was 25 and 26 and 27, I had a chart of his projected, you know, how would he get to pass Emmett Smith, which was my goal back then as obviously an Adrian Peterson stan in, you know, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011. Now, I realized I never thought he had a very good chance of doing that. By the way, it's crazy that Frank Gore, who also is active, is also 1,500 yards ahead of him.
Frank Gore, well, who would you rather have right now? I might even rather have Frank Gore going to this year than Peterson.
Peterson actually had a couple of good games.
He did have a couple of games last year. I wonder, because last year when they asked him, he said he's still the best running back in the NFL, like before he was even signed.
Well, he was totally washed out in New Orleans, and then he was washed out in Arizona.
You know, my hope for Le'Veon Bell this year is, like, it seems like giving the running backs a year off is actually really good for their legs, or, like, just not having a training camp and a preseason.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, these guys really fall off a cliff. I mean, you know, LeSean McCoy, for example, a few years ago, I thought he was definitely destined to the Hall of Fame. Now he's basically done, right?
Yeah.
Jamal Charles is obviously long gone. I'm just looking at the leaders among
actors. Who are going to be Hall of Fame running backs besides Adrian Peterson?
Well, Gore will make it just because...
He was never a Hall of Fame player, although I don't mind like rewarding longevity. Yeah, but also, like, it's just impressive to be able to be
confident.
Well,
you're a Curtis Martin fan. I mean, Curtis Martin was a little better than him, but they were pretty
similar. No, Curtis Martin was always a better player. Curtis Martin was such a good, first of all, pass catcher. He had moments in the playoffs.
Yeah, but Martin also had the benefit of playing for, you know, good teams for most of his career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, they were partially good because he was on them, but I don't disagree.
Yeah.
All right, so 6.5. I think I'm going to go under for Washington.
Yeah, no, I would go on. And what was it for the Giants again? Because I guess in theory, one of those teams has to go over.
I think the Giants, or they're either 6.5 or 6 or 6.5. Also, I think. I don't think they're 5.5.
Yeah.
I mean, in theory, one of them has to go over. It's really not a great division because the Cowboys, to me, are very mediocre.
The Cowboys and Eagles are both getting too much hype right now, I think.
Well,
I think
they're too much hype because one of them absolutely has to win
Washington,
the division.
New York.
One of them has to win the division.
Yeah, but are people talking about them as like both 11 or 12 win teams?
No, neither. I mean, the Cowboys are obviously not a championship.
Well, people talk about the Eagles as, you know, like that their second string is, you know, like a playoff caliber team.
I do think that we have, in the NFL, this always happens. Team wins or loses to the Super Bowl. The next year, often, you know, they lose some players or they have injury issues like happened last year with Philly. And so the next year, it's like, all right, they're going to bounce back. But what happens often, and I like to see a chart about this, is they actually slide again. It's like, no. The reason they got worse from one year to the next year is because, like, it's very hard to put together a Super Bowl caliber team. And, like, it makes more sense to you know, fall back towards being the 15th best team.
Yeah, of course.
You know, to go from 1 to 7 to 15, then from 1 to 7 to 1.
Unless you're the Patriots, you know, going to the Super Bowl is always outside of the mean. So you're always going to regress.
Yeah. But I mean, the Eagles do have a... The Eagles do have Super Bowl. Like, someone has to win the NFC. Yeah. You know, Drew Brees could look old or get hurt. You know, nobody sold on Rodgers. Like, someone has to make it. Yeah. I mean, the Rams are probably the favorite now, if not the Saints. But the Saints, the Eagles certainly they certainly have a chance at having a bye, and at which point, you know, you could easily make the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But you know who cannot make the Super Bowl? The Washington Redskins. The Washington
Football
team.
Yeah, which is the team that we're talking about right
now. Okay, fine. So let's talk about the fantasy league. Yes. Let's talk about the, I'm sorry, the most boring team in football. We'll get to more. I have a lot more takes on Team 29 tomorrow.
I mean, because we have a lot of boring teams to discuss in the next week.
Yeah, but some of the boring teams are like so bad or weird that they're interesting. The Redskins are just stuck in this like abyss of nothingness every year.
I'm looking at our list of like
especially
teams
on
the
field,
next
Redskins.
Couple weeks.
Yeah.
The Raiders, because of all their craziness and Antonio
Brown.
Wait,
don't say who's exciting and who's not.
Okay,
I'm saying who's coming up. The Raiders might be one. I don't know who's
running. No, I'm looking at everyone who's coming up. There's
30 teams. I don't know exactly when the Raiders is, but maybe we should push that off as long as possible, just because more Hard Knocks episodes. But we'll at least get one more.
We'll get to
there. All right. Not tomorrow.
All right, so let's talk about this fantasy league. Okay, so first of all, the credit goes to AB. Mm-hmm. A.B. Sutton.
Yeah, I invited him on, but Alexander.
Now, I don't know why we. Hold on. Let me ask you another question. Why are we continuing to take his advice on things? Because he was the one who was behind the Anthem's tournament.
Well, I mean, do you think the Anthem's tournament was a disaster?
You know,
it was definitely the worst of the three tournaments.
Well, it's like a lot of things in life that when you're going through, you know, I'll give you an analogy. When I was in 10th grade, I had a teacher who was like a complete like psychopath.
Uh-huh.
And the day-to-day was miserable.
Yes.
But now, 20
years
later, all
years
I remember
memories.
Is, can you believe the time he did this? Can you believe the time he did that?
I believe it's the same teacher because my dad went to the same high school as you that my father had 25 years earlier.
Yeah.
Right?
Are his initials LSD?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I didn't know his middle name, but so anyway, I think most of the things in life, you were miserable when, not just you, everyone. Yeah. I'm sure, like, when I think back to the absolute most fun things I've ever done, I'm sure, like, 90% of the time I was there, it was absolutely miserable, especially in school when, like, you don't remember the tests and all the homework you had to do and the studying.
Yeah.
But you only look, but you don't remember any of that now. You just remember like the 10 fun things
that
happened
every
year.
So much better
year.
Than school, not what? School. Like college is the best time of life. Let's be honest.
Oh, of course, yes. No, but I'm just saying, like, all of your fun memories from your childhood, you were mostly miserable during them because, like, there was 100 other things going on. Now you can just pick and choose. You're cherry picking the fun stuff. And that's really
I did have some introspection over the weekend about why I'm so not pumped for this football season. Uh-huh. And I do think, without getting into like all kinds of details, or you know, at least on the podcast, like I think the last couple weeks of my life have been like I've been like the happiest I've ever been in my life, just across the board. I think my life is good. You know, thank God things are going very well now.
So you need to get punched in the mouth, and then you need football to come back to. That's fine.
Like the Vikings have always been like a thing to turn to, you know, as Obama said, some people cling to guns and religion or whatever. And so, you know, I would cling to the Vikings that way, like every fall, like hoping for pleasure and knowing I'm just going to get more pain.
But right now everything's going well and you don't need a distraction.
Yeah. Now, the Twins managed to lose 3 or 4 at home over the weekend, including the loss yesterday in just abysmal fashion. Mm-hmm. I already ran on a rant on Twitter. Nobody cares, but their third base coach is worse at his job than like anyone in the
Twins. I like when Chester goes on a Twins rant as if like we're all watching the game with him. Oh, sure. Yeah. Like we're not going to be watching the ALDS with you if the Yankees aren't in.
Well, but look, Trump does the same thing. He goes on rants about whatever he happens to be watching, and everyone's like, what? Why are you talking about Bill Maher right now? Like, so.
I agree. You and Trump are a lot alike. That we all agree. No one's debating
I walk.
Okay, fine. So quickly, fantasy league. So it is an eliminator survivor, but I think most commonly called a guillotine league. And basically, It is a regular standard fantasy league. I mean, nothing Chester and I do is standard. There'll be a second quarterback probably involved, but it's a pretty typical fantasy league. It'll be on ESPN or Yahoo, whatever. Normally,
well, but hold on, no, but it's you're not facing one opponent every week,
right?
So it's not
standard
at all.
Right. Oh, I'm saying, but you pick a pretty like the point scoring will be what you normally remember.
Yeah, we're not gonna have like punters and
pretty regular. We'll have a draft. It probably will be via reply all email because we like to make things difficult and a snake draft, not an auction. However. Yes, what happens is teams will be eliminated virtually every week. The team that performs the worst, with a few caveats, will be eliminated. Maybe the first 2 weeks are probably going to be merged together.
Yeah, no one's getting knocked out on week
two.
Getting knocked out on week two.
Yes. Now, we just got a request from, I think it was Matt Stewart, which is really good. But we'll get there in a second. So basically, let's say there was 12 teams in each league. So after weeks 1 and 2, someone would be knocked out. Probably 3 and 4 would be merged. And then after that, going forward, essentially one person a week.
Well, no, Akiva, I sent you the breakdown.
All right, I'm just saying. Listen, we will just to make things simple.
Well, everyone can figure out. There's 15 weeks in the season, and after at the end of week 15, you have to have one team left.
We're also not sure it could be 12, 4, up to 16 teams in a league. We're going to try for 12. 14 is also preferable to 16.
Well, so here's the thing. However many people want to sign up for this, if we have 7 people sign up, we'll be one league with 7 people.
Well,
if
I don't
have
we already have. We're going to have more than we can deal with.
If we have any more than 16 people, then we're going to have to split into multiple like divisions.
Yes, we're going to divide by some. You're saying it doesn't even need to be
your best
number.
Player
also.
Is like Adrian Peterson or Colt McCoy.
And also, like last year in the 32-team league, we literally had to Google every week like the fourth running back for a team and see if they'd be active.
Your goal at tight end was a guy who got a target.
Yes, we were just looking for someone who got more than zero every week.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I was saying you wanted someone who had more than zero targets.
They probably weren't going to catch
points,
that pass.
Then they got no points.
Yes. But zero, fine. And you're even saying we think we could do odd number of people also, just because you're not playing anybody. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have to be an even number. But just, I think it should be, each league should be capped at
16. I think we have to double check on ESPN or Yahoo for reasons that are too boring to explain in the podcast. We do have to double check that, but that's not super important.
But we're taking some other wrinkles from Survivor. So, for example, you can get immunity. So, if you have the bottom score of a week, you're eliminated that week. Your season's over. Goodbye.
Yes.
But if you have the top score that week, you have an immunity. You can save yourself and not be limited if you're the bottom. Now, do we want to do it the next week, or do we want you to be allowed to exercise that whenever you want? You can save it.
No, I think the normal immunity is the next week, but there'll be one or two what we'll call hidden immunity idols, where it's like the top.
Maybe it's if you get 150 points in a week.
No,
like
I think it's the top score after. It's the cumulative top score after X number of weeks, 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 5 weeks, whatever it is.
Okay, so that's where I was talking about the immunity, the home field advantage, the point bonus. We'll figure all this out.
It's not that complicated, but there are a few rules.
None of this is complicated for the people who are in the league, because the people in the league, all they have to do is put together a roster more than everyone else.
Very simple
one
fantasy
other person
football.
Every
yeah,
week.
Yeah. And there's the only thing is it's probably not going to be most people's main league, so we're going to have no trading this year, but there will be fabs. You will be able to update your roster, but we're going to have no trades.
So one problem that we had last year is, so 2 years ago when we had the 48 people in the 3 16-team leagues, there was no trading, so there wasn't a problem. Last year in the 32-person league, a couple of people made trades that other people thought were really shady or questionable
I think it was a couple of people like not paying attention because they were losing.
I don't know.
And
I aren't in a position to start vetoing trades.
Yeah.
But so we figured just to avoid that. So we're going to say there's no trades in this league, but there will be fab. So, you can acquire guys. I think you also mentioned maybe one of the immunity idols or whatever you're calling it. I don't know anything about Survivor, obviously.
Yeah.
Is you get the right to make a trade.
We get the right to make a trade or extra fab. Those are things. I mean, in theory, we could have the listeners vote on that if we want. A couple minor things.
We'll hammer out these details. But basically, it'll be, let's say, $25 American. And
It's not going to be most people's main league, but I do think it's going to be more fun than the last few years. I do think this has a lot of potential.
Unless you're only 4 people are making it to like week 13, for example, and only 8 people are making, so it's not going to occupy
Let's say if we have 4 12-team leagues, just to use an example, I think the winners of all 4 leagues do play each other. Everyone will get something.
Well,
the winners will get some money.
Week 15, so that we can have, because we want to have a little playoff and a little.
Matt Stewart has a great twist, which is there should be something called Redemption Island, which means, let's say, the loser, so someone gets knocked out after week 2, and then someone gets knocked out in week 4, one person gets back in. So it's a ladder. It's like if you ever follow like the College World Series or like a bowling tournament. It's basically, so the loser,
get back in?
The first loser plays the second loser. Okay? Whoever wins that matchup is
okay. So let's say after week 2 you get eliminated, and after week 4 I get eliminated.
Yes.
So then
we
week
play
5,
each
you
other.
And I go against each other.
Correct. Whoever wins that faces the loser of week 5 and week 6. then whoever wins that, so it's a ladder. So you'd have to, if you lose in week two, you'd have to beat like 10 people in a row.
Oh, you gotta have seven. But they're also easier because each one's a one-on-one matchup.
It's a one-on-one matchup, but you know,
whereas everyone else has to outscore 20 people.
Yeah. So the person who loses in week 11 might just have to win one matchup or whatever the numbers are.
All right. So this is a good idea. We'll have
it's a very good idea. I think it just means that there's a final four.
The exact details
will
be dependent on exactly how many people are in each division, and that'll be dependent on how many people sign up, because we're going to take that.
But the general idea we're locked into, and I think people are going to like it. Yeah. So we're going to open that up today.
So the general idea we're locked into, we'll probably start these drafts, because again, we'll do it by reply all emails, that we don't have to lock everyone in at the same time. So we'll probably start it like, you know, within either this week or next week. So
Probably I'd say it's a little early. Maybe Monday is good. I'm not sure.
A week from, a week from today. So you mean, next Monday, the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then everyone's had at least two.
I hate drafts that go too early. Did I mention that I have a draft going during my anniversary, like at night on Thursday?
You're
night,
in my so many terrible leagues that you hate and complain about endlessly. So why are you in them?
Well, I made them switch all the rules because it was like the rules were bad. There were no trades, and also the people I watch the games with every week. So like that's in some ways the most fun league to be in because like it's so boring to hear the people talk about a fantasy team. Like I hate that there is already people that are like, you know, Giant fans, but like they have Carson Wentz and they'll be excited if he throws a touchdown. Like that obviously drives me insane, but at least if I'm in the league with them, there's some sort of interest.
Well, you know, my rule is you're not allowed to think about fantasy until like at least until 4 o'clock. You cannot check fantasy during the early games. It's the playoffs.
It should be a law.
There's too much going on.
I don't even check first. And also I'm in so many leagues that anything good that happens to me is also usually a bad thing that happened to me. Unless I have like the same guy. So it doesn't even matter. I will never check. It may be in a championship matchup. I will never check my fantasy.
I check for the first time after the last of the 1 o'clock games. 100%. Now you're like 4:30, 4:40.
Yeah, you have a time to take a break. Then who cares about the first quarter Chargers Broncos?
Three boring 4 o'clock games. Yes. And that's when you check fantasy. 100%. And you say, I'm up 100 or down 100. Yeah. And then
I have no idea.
I haven't played anybody yet.
Don't even have the app on my phone. That's like, and I'm in six leagues.
Well, that's because you have a flip phone. Like, what are you bragging about?
Oh, I just got a new phone today.
Oh, Mazal Tov.
Yeah, iPhone 3.
What kind of phone did you get?
It's a later iPhone than the last one I had. But whatever my wife's old phone was, that she got a new one and gave me her old one. Yeah.
My wife and I are getting new phones shortly, and we're like having an impasse about what to get. So she wants to go back to the Apple well.
Yeah, I like the Android phones, but I think the iPhones last longer. I'm not sure.
I think that Apple definitely has better customer service. So even if it doesn't last longer, they'll replace it for you. In my experience.
All right, how many minutes are we at?
Yeah, we're at like 27.
Oh my god,
we didn't argue enough about fantasy because
I thought we were gonna argue, but we ended up working stuff out. Should we be in the same
league
or different
leagues? Well,
also
just the exact details we can't figure out until we know our.
Should we be in the same league also we're looking for probably one or two really strong commissioners to help us out because we can't like be
because again
there's
be
not that much
I don't want to be in charge of all these different divisions,
but do you want to be in the same league or different leagues? Because then I could commission a league, but maybe it's more fun if we're in the same league. I don't know,
I think the listeners, they like when we're in separate leagues, but
The listeners care if we're in the same league or separate leagues?
Oh, maybe they don't.
I also think we could do a draft, like what if it's
Steve
like
Robinson, he commissioned one of these a couple of years ago. He was pretty good also.
Okay, yeah, Jake Larson does some of the commissioning.
It was AB's idea. Listen, AB had the idea.
Oh, yeah, if he wants to be, but he might want to be in the league with one of us. I don't know.
Well, either way, AB's got to commission a league, all right?
If he wants.
This is his idea. Yeah. He ditched Entenmann's.
He ditched Entenmann's tournament, which was his idea. He did leave us in the lurch. What do you think is going to be the fourth food tournament, by the way?
Well, I thought it was either going to be a beer or Yucky Juice.
Yeah, beer or Yucky Juice. Although fruit, I think a fruit was a good idea mentioned at the Entenmann's tournament.
Fruit is just, it's too variable, like based.
First
on
of all, everyone would
fruit.
Need like, we're not sharing, like we shared a raspberry pecan Danish or whatever. We can't share an apple. I guess we'd cut an apple slice.
Well, you cut it up. Yeah,
but that's not really the way to eat an apple, I don't think, unless you're a baby. Yeah.
You want. Well, so why don't we go to an apple orchard where you can just bite and chuck?
Well, then we'd have to go to an orange orchard and a peach orchard. We'd have to go to a lot of orchards in one day. It would be worse than the Entenmann's store. And like, it breaks the fundamental rule of the podcast leaving the house. I don't know. What is the worst food to share? I was thinking about this. A lot of people say milk. Like, if someone drinks like a half a cup of milk. Well, you famously share any food to anyone. You will share strangers' food.
Well, again, it doesn't depend on the food. It depends on the person.
Yeah, but some foods are grosser than others. Like, nobody cares about... like, I think an apple is very intimate. I think that's a weird thing to, like, have half. Although my kids will take one bite.
But what do you mean? I bite apples and share it with my kids.
But kids aren't a great example.
No, you know what the answer to this is, by the way? The answer is clearly gum.
Yeah, I guess gum is the ultimate. When I was a kid, I would do ABC gum from, like, a friend. I didn't care.
No, no, but I'm talking. I had a friend in high school, for example, specifically, which I thought was the most disturbing thing. You'd be chewing on a piece of gum, and he'd ask for your gum. I'm like, but I'm chewing on it.
Insane.
And he would take it and then bite off a piece of your gum and then continue to chew that. It was like, and I was like, if you want to do that, that's disgusting. I guess it doesn't impact me.
Yeah, but I would ask. Sometimes I would like a girl I was talking to who was like chewing gum. I'd be like, hey, give me your gum.
Can I make fun of this guy some more without saying his name?
Yeah, sure.
The same person. He thought, just to show how much like a bubble he lived in, that he thought that where, you know, you can chew people's gum without consequence. He once commented, he thought the average income in America was like $200,000 or something like that.
And it's higher?
And then I think it's him, but this didn't happen to me, so I heard this third hand. I think he asked in 2004, just again, living in a bubble, he asked him why Jim Carrey, the comedian, was running for president.
Who's he talking about?
John Kerry.
Oh, okay, so he's really dumb. He must have been impressed. He's like, well, I guess Jim Carrey like won the Vezina Trophy.
No, it's so funny because, you never think of Jim Carrey and John Kerry the same as having the same name because they're spelled like radically differently. Well, but it's basically pronounced the same way, yeah.
No, I didn't even know who he was talking about. Like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Jim Carrey,
we're calling this guy dumb, but he was in like all the honors classes in my high school. So,
is he successful now?
I have no idea. I was about to say something, but then I didn't want to sound like an anti-dentite. I was going to say, I think he's a dentist now, but I'm just making, I have no reason to think.
Well, if he's a dentist, it doesn't mean he's making $1 billion, but I feel like that's a success in life. His parents are probably proud of him. It's more than either of us could say.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't know how proud my father can be when he had to babysit till 1 in the morning because I went to Long Island to.
Yeah. Did he say anything when we came back? Like that? He had to watch you for the Entenmann's tournament and then like send the take a picture of the poster that you made.
Which you know what? I was very proud of him. That was technologically quite impressive that he managed to achieve that.
Yeah, that is that for like a parent. That's that's a solid A-.
Yeah. Yeah. He's what is he? He's turning 68 shortly. So.
My dad's turning 60.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to tell you this. Mm. We were at a meal on Saturday, as we are wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember how it came up because, I try and keep my world separate. But my wife somehow mentioned the podcast.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then it got into a conversation. And then I said, well, my co-host. And they're like, who's your co-host? And I said, Akiva Wienerker. And somebody said, Rabbi Lou, son?
Rabbi Lou.
You have a Rabbi Lou fan.
Yeah. Yeah, who was it?
I think it might have been Eric. Oh, wait. We're over 32 minutes. Bomb.
That's good. That's good. Who was it, by the way, now that we're done?